Hi, this is Mysie.
And this is Sean.
And this is A Little Rude.
Hi, friend.
Hello, dear.
So I came across a post this week, and I wanted to run it past you. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, what more perfect format do we have to do that than this little short version of our podcast. So
okay.
I saw a headline. It was a New York Times opinion piece that said, even with a dream job, you can be anti-work. And so it caught my attention because these days I'm feeling very anti-work.
Right. Yeah.
I think the proper term for it is probably burnt out.
Yeah.
I'm experiencing burnout.
And we call that a great resignation period. I don't think you're alone.
Yeah, exactly. And I haven't, you know, written or thought about my letter of resignation because I need a paycheck. But exactly. I do feel very tired. And, you know, I was intrigued enough by the headline to at least read a little bit about what is anti-work, and also is it what I think it is in terms of...
Yeah, I'm curious.
So I looked a little bit deeper into or past the headline, to use one of our buzz phrases.
Mm-hmm.
And the author, Farhad Manju, said... basically that the pandemic gave him some perspective about how much he lets work rule his life. And if folks are looking for it, I will link the article on our social media. It's an older article, but I just scrolled across it recently. So to quote him, he said, "I'm embarrassed to say I didn't really realize how much work ruled my life until the pandemic. I've got a wife and kids and two lovely cats, but work is the first thing I think about every morning and the last thing I worry about every night. My job has dibs on my mind and my time. It gets the best of my attention and creativity, and it is the subject of my deepest neuroses and my most intractable stresses. What if work didn't dictate your life?" And so that... sparked more interest. I was thinking originally that anti-work was sort of, you know, exactly what it says. I'm anti-working. I don't want to work. I hate work. But this was more sort of, even if you work your dream job, you can be anti what work brings to your life.
And right. I think, okay.
Yeah. And I think a lot of us, I know I can, I think a lot of us can identify with that feeling that we give our best selves to our jobs every day at the expense of our families, our children, ourselves, our health and well-being mentally and physically. And we spend our creativity out at work and have very little left in the tank for our own personal pursuits or the things that give us some joy when we're offline.
I don't want to say it's a uniquely American trait, but I do think, you know, it's a sort of puritanical kind of ideal of hard work. We're supposed to work. The idea of merit, the American dream. I do think that work is a part or integral to American society. I think that, like, we work some of the longest hours, you know, of other, mm-hmm. you know, compared to other countries. We don't, you know, have siestas and, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. I would love to have it, but it's almost like a 24 hour kind of economy. You are supposed to work. You're supposed to work hard. And that's mm-hmm. sort of a measure of your worth.
Right.
So I could see how that can be draining on people. It's interesting that you mentioned, what does anti-work mean? Because I've been asked this before and I'm going to ask you. So if you could have any job that you wanted, it didn't matter how much, you know, no limits. It doesn't matter how much money you would make or anything like that. That was not an issue. What would you do?
So I've said a million times to friends and family and anyone who would listen that I would love to leave America behind and go find somewhere warm and beachy to open a tiki bar and just serve drinks until I'm ready to retire.
Are you partaking of the drinks as well? Or
yes, I am. I am a bartender who accepts free shots from my customers. But I say that, and I would totally do that. But in all honesty, if I had my dream job, and I could do anything and money wasn't an issue, I think I would either be a therapist or a writer. I've been since I was a little girl, I've always wanted to be a writer.
Yes. And, yes, you have. And you,
yeah.
And, well, I haven't known you since you were a little girl, but I know that you write, and I would love to read more of your writings, because you definitely have done that throughout the years.
The sad thing is, you know, going back to the topic that we're discussing is, in my older years, I give so much to my job that I really don't write as much, because at the end of the day, I want to be like a lump on the couch, you know, sadly. And I've tried to push myself out of that a million times. And it becomes sort of, there's a creative block there, because I feel like my brain is just washed. And maybe that goes back to the burnout.
Well, I think that that's definitely related to your job, you know, and for most of us. And, you know, you're drained, all of your mental energy, and sometimes, you know, your creative energy is focused on the job. So when you get home, it's hard to, you know, pull up any reserves to take care of your kids or to be with your spouse, take care of your animals, you know, that you're regrouping is going and vegging out on the, you know, watching television or, you know, scrolling through social media and then going to bed.
Right.
You know, that's, and I think that that is where that whole anti-work sentiment comes from. For me, I'm a little bit on the other side. Now, I've had a job before where I physically became ill, the stress of it. And that was new for me. I've been stressed before with my jobs, but to actually physically feel it, where to the point where I had to seek medical attention, that was new for me. And I knew that I had to leave. And, you know, thank goodness I was able to. And I've really tried not to be in that position again. However, when I'm asked, what would you do, irrespective of money? What is it that you really would want to do, where money's no object, just what's in your heart? And I have said nothing, that nothing is what I would like to do.
Yes, you have.
Yes.
Many a time.
Yes, that throws people off guard, you know, and they're like, well, come on, you know, like, well, you know, they just meet, you know, what do you like to do? You know, and then I'll try to come up with something. And I found on YouTube, it's so funny that you should mention this, because we hadn't talked about this before, but there are some people who, you know, have given up on the American dream, which I feel like goes into what you're talking about, what this author or the writer is talking about. You know, this whole work 24/7, you put your head down, work hard. They feel like they realize that's not for them. And lots of them want to travel, you know, be free. You know, they'll take odd jobs and things like that to see the world. That's not me. That's not what my goal is. My goal literally is to do nothing. And, you know, people have said, oh, if you won the lottery, I don't want to work because I have to, you know, I would want to work because I wanted to. And that sort of goes with your tiki bar. But it's hard to explain to people where you don't necessarily have a dream job, you know. And people have said, well, don't you like, you know, some people have mentioned to me, don't you like to write, or, you know, what was it, you know, with acting, or, you know, there were some things that you like to do. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I did. But no, I don't. I don't want to work. And
You tired, girl.
I would, you know, you talk about the veggie on the couch at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Okay. So Mizey's doing that all day, you know,
every day.
Thank you. And that is goals, girl. That is goals. And it's hard to say that, you know, are you lazy? I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. You know, can I say that? What? Well, you know, you were so smart. You know, you just wasted right. your talents. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard, you know, from family members, a parent, you know, you're so smart. And they're not saying in past tense, you know, so mm-hmm. smart. And it's, but it's also like, what are you doing? Are you really using your smarts? You know what I mean? Kind of
right.
thing. And that's
right.
fine. Yeah, that's their opinion. But it's like, what happens when you don't want to anymore?
You're just yeah. tired. I mean, and I would say it is a piece of it is burnout. Like I sent you, I think I sent you the other day, like this infographic or whatever. It was a comedic.
We are going to have to include that because I was like, this is the story of my life.
Right.
My
right. life. I instantly thought of you. I thought of me too. And yeah. and we will share it like Mizey said, but it is the life of an overachiever is what it's called. And it's a timeline from birth to death. And it's like birth, you know, you get a little ways from birth and it's like you're a gifted kid. Right.
Yep.
Then you move a little forward and you're a highly driven young professional eager to prove yourself at any cost. And then mm-hmm. you get somewhere between your middle age and death. And it's like you're a burned out fucking disappointment. And that is what I feel like and sort of what you're saying when your people are like, you're so smart, like right. you're not using your talents. And it's like, I wouldn't have the energy to if I tried. You know, it is yep. very much people have said, well, you know, you make time for the things that you gosh. Really want to do. And you God. Could get up at 5 a.m. and yep, write.
If you
and
want it badly enough.
Then go to yeah. work and then you or stop spending so much time on social media. And I'm like, if I got off social media and went and sat in front of a computer after sitting in front of a computer for 14 hours a day plus,
yep.
I would literally just stare at it and yeah. doze off because I'm a bitch is tired. Okay.
Yeah.
That's really where I am. And,
yeah.
you know, you mentioned that American ideal. It triggered me so badly because there used to be this commercial. I don't know if you remember it, but it was, and I'm going to blank on the actor. He was just in American Horror Story this past season, but I know you don't watch that.
Absolutely not.
Mizey doesn't do horror.
Folks. Absolutely not.
I'm going to look up his name. But anyway, it was like a car commercial, like a mm-hmm. Lincoln commercial, some American brand car, mm-hmm. right? And it was talking about the American worker. And mm-hmm. in America, we work. We yep. work 12 plus hour days and we're, you know, all this kind of stuff mm-hmm. that's like pretty uniquely unhealthy. You know,
yeah.
like you're exactly
we're supposed to be
what
a badge of honor here. Though.
Yeah. But exactly what the opinion piece I mentioned at the top of the episode is about, like we're supposed to give ourselves wholeheartedly lock, stock and barrel to our jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And that is who we are.
Yep.
That is what we are. And if you lose your job and you do nothing, you are lazy.
Yep. You are nothing.
You are it's not
your,
part of the.
It's tied to your self-worth. That's yeah, what it is.
It's yes, tied so to your self-worth. And I can honestly say that, like, I have been in a position before where I lost a job.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me in the long run.
But not but at that time, I remember.
In the immediate aftermath, I was like in a depression and in a funk. Like, who am I if I'm not working this job that I went to school for?
Yeah.
You know, I spent all these years in school and now I don't have a job to speak of for my degree. And what am I going to do? And obviously, it wasn't going to be like the end of my working life. I was going to bounce back and find another job. You know, a lot of people were in my position because it was when the economy crashed. And it was, you know, I was relatively junior at the time and it just was what it was. But it was such a toxic work environment that it was a healthy thing to have happened to me. But in the moment, I couldn't fathom that because I just felt like I was had been stripped of my identity.
Yep.
Yeah. And I've since tried very hard, even though I do give a lot of my time to work. I have tried very hard to delineate between who I am, like as a person in my soul, from what I do.
And I think to tie back to what you were saying with this article, it's not about it being the dream job, right? It's about the work and how it affects you, right?
Right. And how much of yourself you give to that, you know, to a place where, I guess, going back to what you're saying, where the identity, your identity is sort of intertwined with what you do. And it's hard, you know, not to identify as that. I mean, society backs it up. It's sort of when you meet new people, the first question people ask is, what do you do? And they make assumptions about you based on your answer.
Absolutely.
And I hate that question because we shouldn't be summing each other up by our titles and our achievements. We should just treat people like human beings no matter what you do. And we should be interested in who people are. Like, are you a good person? Do we have similar ideals? And if we don't, let's discuss it. Let's learn from each other. What do you do? Oh, you're a lawyer. You're too hoity-toity to talk to me. Oh, you're you know, a garbage collector. I'm better than you. You know what I'm saying? I hate those sort of presumptions.
I have to bullshit. Admit, you know, I used to work in LA, the entertainment industry, and that's what it was about. It was like, who do you work for? Mm-hmm. And based on who you work for, that's how much attention I was going to give to you.
Yeah.
I was guilty of it too for what little knowledge I had, you know, because it was like, oh, do I know that person's name? But I saw how it was because, in all honesty, when I started having employment issues, you know, and maybe I don't even know if I had necessarily worked for a big name, but some people knew who I worked for. Mm-hmm. But when I started getting outside of like film development and more into production, I would see people's eyes glaze over when I said, oh, I'm working on this project. And it was like, you're not worth my time because there's nothing transactional. There's nothing that you can do for me, you know, that type of thing. So and that was a lot, you know, that's tied into you can't escape it. It's tied into who you are and your identity. So I guess the question for our listeners is, I don't know what I consider. Are you anti-work in the sense of what Sean is talking about, how work can envelop your life and take it over and just dictate how you feel and the energy that you have for others? Or are you anti-work in my sense, where your goal is to do absolutely nothing? I hope that like my family, especially any parents or anybody, I hope they never hear this because it's like, why is she so lazy?
Oh gosh. Well, I have a third question, which is, who's coming to the bar to drink with Mizey and fund my retirement?
Right, because since I'm too lazy to work, I'm just hoping that she'll have. I'm gonna be in the corner of the bar, hoping that she'll give me some free shots.
Yeah, you'll be my regular. You could be my regular and like the mascot of the bar. You'll be like the spokesperson. We're gonna call it the Do Nothing Tiki Hut.
Yeah,
and you can teach people the fine art of disconnecting and doing nothing.
But I'd be like, you better pay my girl.
And I will do the bare minimum and make some craft cocktails.
Yeah, only two.
That's my bare minimum. I promise not to pour you bottom shelf liquor with a shot of pineapple juice. I'll have some rosemary and mint.
Fancy.
To incorporate into my fancy tiki cocktail.
You know, it's so funny because I am a cheap person, you know, and they'd be like, oh, what kind of, you know, do you want a well drink? And I was like, what is that? And I just knew it was cheaper. So yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes. No premium over here.
And you might not be doing well later.
No premium over here. So yeah. I'm already getting ready for my my lifestyle of leeching off of others.
That's right. You're frugal. frugal do nothing path forward.
Girl, you know life. I got them tastes though. I got a taste for certain things, so I have to work on that. But anyway, I'm curious to hear what people think about it. I'm sure some people probably land somewhere in the middle, but I definitely can understand what the author and what you're saying, because I'm living it. We've lived it. I know Sean and I have lived it before, and into an extent, you know, I think a lot of us are living it now. And I think with the whole great resignation and with the pandemic, it's made people realize that there's got to be more to life. Love that song. Love that song. Most people don't know that song, but there's got to be more to life. Who sings that?
Anyway. It's a question to ask yourself, you know, how, even if you're, whether you're anti-work or not, it is a question to ask yourself, am I giving too much of myself, my spirit, my well-being over to a job, you know, and put some things in perspective for those of us who work for others. You know, are we giving too much of ourselves to a machine that will replace us the moment we're gone? And we've spun ourselves into a bad health situation and are unable to do the job anymore. Or are, if we work for ourselves, are we giving too much to our customer base, you know, at the expense of our, the rest of our lives, the people who hold us up when we're falling apart, to help us continue to do those jobs?
You're absolutely right.
So it's just, it was a quirky little question about, you know, are we anti-work? But, you know, there are always, like anything, broader implications of, you know, really giving yourself over to something that may not serve you in the long run outside of your finances and health coverage. That can't be underestimated in this country.
Gosh. Yeah, so, there, I mean,
that's almost more important. In my life, it is more important than my salary. So
yeah, you're absolutely right. And do a self check about what your priorities are, not only for yourself, but you know, for your family, and hopefully you'll be able to figure out a way, because it's hard. To find that balance. But I think it's important to know where you are and what your priorities are. And
I do want to say Neil McDonough is the actor I was thinking of. Mm-hmm. And it is, I believe, a Cadillac commercial. If I can find it, I will put it up on our social media. But it just talks about how Americans, oh, we're Americans, we work so hard, we're supposed to work so hard. And it was just very triggering for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if at the time I was going through a rough period at work or what, but it was triggering to me because it's always been a thing that sticks in the back of my head that, you know, we should have our priorities better situated, because at the end of our lives, you know, these jobs that we give so much of ourselves to and that can negatively impact, like you said, our physical health, our emotional well-being, our families' lives, in a negative way, you know, while it might provide financial comfort, you know, it's always a weighing of the factors, and there's more to life than work, even if you're not anti-work.
We can't forget about the people who are struggling to get by, you know, trying to work more than one job, and, you know, they don't have as many options.
Absolutely. Giving yourselves over to working and it's not even benefiting you the way that it should. Yeah. The way that it should. We take great advantage of our labor force.
There's so much we could talk about
at all levels. But but like you said, that's a much larger episode.
So yes. Are you anti-work? And if you are, what does that mean to you?
Yes.
So we look forward to hearing your thoughts. And Shawnee Sue, where can they find us?
Shawnee Sue, aren't you cute? You can find us at rudeawakening.com. No, you can't. You cannot find us there. You can find us online at ourrootawakening.com, on Instagram at rootawakeningpod, and on Twitter at ourrootpod. And we look forward to seeing, reading your thoughts, maybe sharing them on a future episode.
Yep, sounds good. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.